Welcome to Playful Beginnings, a podcast about the magic of play therapy for therapists, students, and anyone interested. In our podcast, we'll explore the deeper understanding of play therapy and the skills we use in working with children.
We hope to help you understand the why behind what we do and how it helps kids heal and grow. I'm Dr. Christy Obiola, a working play therapist and university professor in North Carolina.
I'm Dr. Maggie Parker, a play therapist and professor in DC.
Hey, Christy.
Hey, Maggie. Happy Play Therapy Week.
Happy Play Therapy Week. How exciting.
I know. Are you doing anything special this week with your students or in your community?
I think, you know, now that we're just talking about it, I realized I did a whole presentation last week for GW, our graduate school, and I should have been like, wait, let's wait until it's Play Therapy Week. So I'll have to...
Preemptive way to bring people into the week to let people know about our profession and options that your program offers.
Yeah. And then other than that, we'll probably take some pictures in our group play activity therapy class and send them off. Sometimes I send stuff to the news. It is something that I try to do. What about you?
Yeah. So for our state chapter, we're doing a whole bunch of meetups this week across the state, and we're hosting a webinar on Friday on postmodern play therapy approaches with Dr. Rubin. And then at the university, we are doing a grand opening of our new playroom, which is behind me, that we've spent the last few months redesigning and ordering supplies and all that stuff. So that's kind of exciting. It feels like a big weight off my shoulder that it's officially done. And then we're doing an activity every day this week. So yesterday we did sand tray. Today we'll do an art activity. Tomorrow we're doing an info session. And then Thursday we are doing a painting activity just for students to kind of de-stress and connect in other ways. And then we have a overall activity for the whole week that are going into all of our play therapy classes. And then we're opening it up to all of our students at the university, looking at the flower of life and the interconnectedness that we have. So we're going to put up a big mural about the interconnectedness through play. And so everyone does their own, but in the end, it looks like a giant quilt where you can't see where one person starts and where one person ends. So they all overlap and overlay. Yeah. So
that's beautiful.
And then we're also we're working with our social media team and our PR team about creating some content for the community on play therapy. It just won't release this week. So slowly, but surely.
I was gonna say, what do you mean slowly? That's so much. You're like, what are you doing? I'm like, I might make a picture.
I know it's terrible. Well, we have a designated play therapy program here, so I feel a little more pressure to like represent a play therapy for Play Therapy Week. And it's not, I don't really want to call it pressure. I feel like I really want to kind of bring out the identity of play therapist. So it's not pressure. It's just, I think it's often overlooked in programs or not recognized. And I'm proud of our university for recognizing it. So I really want to make sure students know about it, see it, maybe get just a little taste of it to entice them to take one of our classes or explore play therapy more. So,
yeah, that's awesome. Way to be creative.
You know me and my creativity.
You're so creative.
Maggie, I know I sprung this on you, but I thought we could talk a little bit about our favorite play therapy moments as a way to highlight our profession and also kind of those warm moments that happen and really kind of keep us motivated and connected in the field. And so I'll start with mine.
Yeah.
It was early in my kind of play therapy journey. I was working with a school-aged child who originally came to me because of an illness with one of her parents that was really shocking and surprising and kind of had no warning signs, but positive, like this parent was going to overcome this and da-na-na-na. And she absolutely loved coming into the playroom. Like she looked forward to every week. She woke up and told her mom, oh, it's this day and I'm going to see Miss Christy and da-na-na-na. And then we had the holiday break, the winter holiday breaks. And when she came back, I got a message from her mom that the one parent had passed away unexpectedly and really rocked like this family system. A huge challenge. And she was totally different in the playroom after that and did some amazing processing in the play. She particularly loved the sand and did a lot around death and dying in the sand, and you know, where do people go when they die and all that good stuff. She built a lot of tunnels. She would bury a toy on one side of the playroom, in one side of the sandbox, and then put water all over it and then build tunnels to try to get to it. And then if the tunnel collapsed, right, she would kind of process what that meant for her. And she became particularly attached to a puppet in the playroom. And I have the same puppet here just by chance. So I'm going to share this little guy. It's a little wolf puppet.
It's really fun. And
yes, it's very fuzzy. It can look really intimidating in some ways, but also has like these really, I don't know if you can see them, like his eyes are really inviting. And that became her companion in the playroom. She told that puppet everything. And I remember one day as play therapists, we reflect, we try to understand the content that our clients are sharing with us through play. I remember her looking at the puppet and saying, "Miss Christie is magical. She, my mind, I don't even have to say anything in here." And it was like just this really tender moment of feeling really understood in her, I'm tearing up as I say this, and feeling really heard and really validated in the play space. And it reminds me that sometimes we don't know where we're connecting with kids or kind of the impact we made. But she would say that often, like she would paint and she's like, "I already know, you know what I'm going to think and do in here." And like, she just didn't, she never questioned our connection or like my intent or anything like that in the playroom. I think it felt authentic, genuine, and she picked up on that. And that really helped her grow, heal, grieve the loss of one of her parents. And so it was just, it's a really warm moment for me as a play therapist because it links into what we hope clients feel in session with us, and so, and in particular children. So that's one of my fond play therapy moments.
It's beautiful.
Yeah, just fun. And I don't know why I thought of it this morning when I was kind of preparing for today, but it is probably the one that I go back to sometimes the most when I'm struggling or like feeling pressure to change or do things differently. But it is something like, no, hold the magic of play therapy in your heart and kids will feel that. And so, yeah.
No, that's awesome. It's, I don't know if I am losing my memory or if I just like blocked out some of my doc program or my time in Mississippi. It's kind of tough to kind of think about. There are two moments that I, one that was most recent and one that's just kind of small and funny. And as I was thinking about this, you and I both really are interested in trauma and childhood trauma. And I just edited out like 3,000 words from this article that we're doing.
You talk about it forever, write about it forever.
Yes, it's so interesting and it's so misunderstood. And what I realized as I was thinking about this was I've had a lot of kids who've had traumatic experiences throughout. I'm really good at minimizing what I do, being authentic in this moment, right? But I was thinking like, I have like worked with a lot of kids who've had trauma. And the first thing that, which it was the second thing that came to mind. And it's something that's just warms my heart. And so this child had experienced some attachment trauma and I hadn't seen her for very long. She was really young and she was, I think, playing music at the time, like she was making like drum sounds, and all of a sudden she tooted really loud. Oh, and I don't know if I said anything, but like she looked up at me with her eyes and she goes, "Oh, my bottom made music." And I was like, "You're so proud. Like
you did.
You can make music lots of different ways." And so that was just, you know, just seeing the joy of childhood and like no embarrassment. That was something I think probably as a kid I would have been mortified about. My kids don't seem to be mortified by it at all. They think it's quite funny.
It makes me laugh because I have a video of a kiddo that I saw when we were at UNT, and we had two-way mirrors in our playroom, so the kids didn't see the video recording equipment. And this girl tooted so loud and she goes, "Thank God this is not being recorded." Even though we assent kids at the beginning, but because they don't see the camera, it just kind of blends in and they don't remember it's being recorded. But it was just so funny because in my heart, I was like, oh, this is recorded. And it's never a video I have shared. But, you know, just that, like, thank God this is not being recorded. And I was like, whew, that's a big relief to you. And in my heart, I'm like, I'm so lying to you in this moment because this is being recorded, but I will never share it.
Oh, yeah. That's funny.
They toot all the time in the playroom, y'all.
Oh, yeah. They toot all the time. I take it as a huge compliment.
Relaxing. Their system is relaxing.
The other one was recent. More recent, a childhood experience, really intensive trauma and neglect. And she had a couple different diagnoses. And I'm not sure how much of the diagnoses were symptoms of the neglect or symptom, you know, whatever. But the play was always very, very chaotic. And I think I've shown, like, I've processed this client with you a couple of times, right? And how I can be accepting and how my reflections can really encapture what they were experiencing. Cause it was just a bunch of chaos, right? It was just pure chaos. And they kept wanting to climb on something. And I was, you know, this isn't for climbing. You really want to. And then, and if you choose to climb, you choose to have me stand right here. And they fell back into my arms. So I'm like holding my arms forward, like almost. So when they fell in, they were big. So it was almost like I was cradling them, mm-hmm. you know, like, you do a newborn. And I'm pretty boundaried, especially like now that we don't have, I'm not recording every session. I don't pretty wary and cognizant of touch and hugs and stuff like that. But you could see in the child's eyes that they really needed that in this moment. And they just kind of looked up at me and I was like, you feel really safe. And you know that you're cared for and that you matter and that your safety is important and you feel really calm. And it was just such this connection between the two of us that, I don't know, I guess I conceptualized it. This was something that he had needed from a caregiver that he wasn't able to get. So that was pretty powerful.
Well, and to be that vulnerable.
Mm-hmm.
Feels really meaningful.
Yeah, it felt really meaningful. You know, and of course I went and told the caregiver, hey, just so you know, I held them for a second just because I think children's safety is important. So I want them to know, but
well, yeah. And transparency, right? We don't, how kids may convey a message. Not that it's incorrect, right? It's their perception of what's happening, but it's also helpful that parents are aware of what's happening in the playroom because they're not in there. And in particular with kids who are vulnerable.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because we know when kids have a lot of abuse or neglect that sometimes it puts them at higher risks of being reassaulted or reabused. And so I think transparency is really important.
Yeah. So I think that was probably
those moments are so magical, right? You can't even describe them in words. It's just a really strong felt experience between you and your clients.
Yeah. We would love, you know, that'd be fun if we could bring people on and or like write in and share your favorite play therapy moments. That would be really neat.
Yeah, there's a content person that I watch and she creates, was a former teacher and she creates videos of the crazy things that happen to teachers in the classroom or with parents or whatever. And she reenacts them. So they're kind of funny, but then she does this one session where it's like a share your story and she just kind of reads. So it would be fun to have like a moment where we could read fond memories of being a play therapist or, you know, maybe a learning moment that you had as a play therapist. Because I don't think we often talk about those enough. If you do write in, please remember to keep it confidential. Don't put any that helps.
So it's broad.
There was, I try.
Yeah.
I'm not always successful, but yeah. And I try to leave the content pretty loose about what was going on so that, you know, it could be one of many clients that we see. Mm-hmm. But yeah, we would love to hear your fondest moments as a play therapist or maybe your biggest learning moments as a play therapist because we've got those too.
Yeah. And I think, you know, this is going to be like, this is a special episode for Play Therapy Week. And so just so everybody knows that we have some big things coming. Christy and I are going to get a website with maybe some training materials, some opportunities to share and have community resources and links to our favorite books, our favorite toys, all of those things. So that's playtherapyspace.com.
And hopefully it'll launch, I think, the beginning of March, right?
Yeah. And then we have Instagram that used to be caregiving and we've switched it to the Play Therapy Space. So you can follow us there for tips and also on Facebook. You can see our pretty picture up there. So really just trying to like create a space for us to learn and grow together.
And know that this is a developing thing. So if there's content you want to hear and we haven't shared it yet, please let us know. You know, this started out as a fun project for Maggie and I about being able to connect every week and talk about one of our favorite things to talk about, which is play therapy. But we do hope it's helpful to you. And we're glad you come and join us each week.
Yeah. Thanks, guys. Thank you, Christy.
Happy Play Therapy Week. And we're glad to connect with all of our play therapy peeps around the U.S. and world.
Yes. And stay tuned because we have D-Ray coming on next week. So that will come out Monday. So yeah. Thanks, Christy.
Bye, Maggie.
Happy Play Therapy Week.